All right, we're back. Number five, tell interesting stories. You want to be interesting? You know, when you see people sitting around talking,
right,
at the golf course, at the corner,
in the market,
you invite people over, you're at a ball game, wherever people interact, the playground, it doesn't matter. It doesn't take, if you just watch them and you can't hear what they're doing, within 2 or 3 minutes, somebody's laughing.
Right.
The group is laughing, and somebody is, like, mesmerizing everybody else with a story. Yeah. It might be a made-up story. It might be something that just happened to them. But, you know, if you look at the New Testament and Jesus, you know, the red-letter edition, Jesus' words, mm-hmm. most of the red letters are going to be Jesus telling some kind of story.
Right.
The Old Testament, filled with all these stories. Right. Stories is probably the number one way that human beings communicate anything. Truth,
right.
doctrine, information. And people are most successful in communication when they tell a story. Often when I've tried to teach preaching and people try to be the Apostle Paul and explain
right.
something, it's hard to figure out because it's not obvious what the next sentence should be. When you're telling a story, well, I got up, then I got dressed, and then I got in the car, and then I drove down. It's obvious what you need to say next. It's
right.
easy to hold on to a whole narrative
right.
without notes and
right.
be able to say it. Because, a person telling the story right. is almost picturing it in their
right.
mind.
So there's
like
metaphor ponies or story ponies. It's
yes.
like the story is the glue
yes.
that holds the content together.
Right. So then... Now, some people are good at telling stories.
Right.
Really good at telling stories. They tell a story as if they're there. Remember, one of the principles of telling a good story is if you picture what you're saying, your audience will picture it too. If you're not picturing it,
right?
You know, we drove down this thing and then we went to the driveway and there was this big bump. See, if I'm seeing the big bump, you'll see the big bump.
Right.
If I just tell the story and I'm not seeing it, I'm just saying words, then you're not going to see the story
right.
either. So
right.
to be able to tell the story, there was a farmer, he was sowing in the field.
How about Matthew or Luke 15?
Yeah, Luke 15.
A man had two sons.
Okay. So already it's like,
a rich man had two sons.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. number one, stories about relationships are generally the most interesting.
Right.
Because relationships, again, if you go back to what sin is the brokenness between relationships, between
yes.
people. People are hiding from one another. So there's
yeah.
a lot of drama
right.
In relationships. So you start off with the story, there were two sons.
Right.
One son. Okay, so now one son. So
right.
now we have a conflict. We have a, you know,
right.
there's a duality thing happening here.
There's an inciting incident.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it becomes...
Give me my inheritance.
Yes. So
life is normal. Give me my inheritance.
Now, why does Jesus tell this story? He tells this story because he's eating with the tax collectors and the sinners.
Right.
And the righteous people and the Pharisees, they were saying, you know, who is this Jesus? He spends all of his time with these tax collectors and sinners. Now, Jesus has to say to them, look, I have come. My grace is for the lost. It's for you. But now, he could have explained that.
Right.
He could have given an epistle like the,
right.
the Apostle Paul might have.
Right.
Okay? But instead he goes... There was a man who had two sons.
Yeah.
And then as the story goes on, well, one son represents the people that he's eating with, and the other son is the one that is complaining about him eating with these people.
Right, right.
And so he is preaching to his audience, but he's telling the story. And the thing about a story is it lowers the guard. People
right.
can't help but get into a story. And then, sort of like Nathan the prophet, you know,
yeah.
when
you
David,
are the man.
Yeah, when yeah. David had sinned by communicating or
Bathsheba,
and then he tells that story, and then all of a sudden, and David is in the story,
yeah.
right? Not realizing it's about him.
Right.
So then finally, the big reveal. But that's what stories do.
You are the man.
Stories sort of get to our heart. Past our minds, and that's why they communicate so well, And there's so telling stories is one of the best ways to communicate, but how do you tell a good story?
Yeah, so how do you tell a good story, Steve?
Yeah. Number one, you have to, again, that first principle is you have to picture.
Right.
You have
picture
to see it in your own mind and describe it as if you're going through it again. So in other words, detail.
Detail.
Sometimes people will give a testimony and they'll say, you know, before I knew the Lord, I got into drinking and alcohol and sex and money and drugs and, you know, and it's just cliche. It's like, I can't feel any of those things.
Right.
But if instead he said, you know, before I know the Lord, in fact, I remember the first day that I went to jail. I remember they put me in the cell, and I remember distinctly hearing the click of the lock. And then the next guy to me started coughing, and I looked over there, and there was the bowl that we're supposed to, the communal toilet. And then, in other words, you describe as if you're sitting there.
Right, yeah.
Well, now people are like mesmerized as to what it was. And see, now you're describing what your life was before Christ, and I'm seeing this and I'm feeling it. If it's generalities, I don't feel that.
You know, one of the things I notice sometimes in preaching that honestly makes me just feel tired, okay, no disrespect, I just feel tired, is when a minister gives like everything in the message before he gets into that hook, that story, that introduction. So today we're going to find out how David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet said, "You are the man." And so just sit tight and you're going to hear this story.
Right. So for example, when I got into the Titanic, I would have before, actually an author, Max Lucado, helped me understand how to tell a story. Because before, when I got into the Titanic, I'm going to use that as a metaphor for, you know, saving people. I would say, okay, today I want to talk about evangelism. And I want to use the metaphor of the Titanic that went down in 1912. And I'll give all these facts, about the Titanic.
Right.
But what I learned from Max Lucado is I don't say anything about the Titanic. I just start off with, she was only 7 years old when it happened.
Right.
And everyone's going, who was 7 years old when what happened?
Right.
Shivering in lifeboat number 13, she watched in utter horror as the biggest ship that existed at that time slid out of sight beneath the waves. Her name was Eva Hart.
Right.
And she remembers giving a silent scream of terror. You know, so in other words, I'm not going to say I'm going to tell a story. I'm not going to use a metaphor. I just launch into it right in the middle where you're all going, what's going on? What's happening?
One of my daughters is big time into creative writing, and she has this belief that after her living this is show, don't tell.
Yeah.
Show, don't tell.
Yes.
Because telling me what I should learn not as interesting than showing me why and showing me
what. And you know, it's interesting. Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. Jesus does not at the end go, "See you Pharisees, this is why I told this story." He just ends the story. Remember how the story ends? You know, the prodigal comes home and they kill the fattened calf, they have the party, but the older son is still out in the field, and the father comes out to the older son, "Son, we had to celebrate because your brother was lost and now he's found." And then the story just ends.
Yes.
But what was Jesus saying? He was saying to all the religious leaders hearing that were complaining that he was eating with the Pharisees, he's saying, you know what? You're invited to the party too.
Right.
Okay? I am sitting here with these sinners and you're complaining about it. You are welcome. And so the story is unfinished because Jesus is in a way saying, without saying it, are you going to come to the party or not?
Right. You know, and this is very practical in ministry. Sometimes when you meet people, just tell them a story right when you see them. I get practical on this. I remember one time there was a contributor to CLI who has contributed for one of the major languages, and he is a dairyman. So I called him up and I said, so how are the cows doing and you know, everything like that. And I said, would you like to buy some ministry cows? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, I can build a milker for these cows and we can spread the gospel all over. And he goes, okay. He laughed. He said, well, how many cows do you need?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
See, you know, in some ways I could have said, you know, as you get into this, there's a story.
Right.
You know, again, I, by the way, didn't even tell the full story there because of time. But I actually made, in my mind, an interesting story about the story of his life.
Right. You put it in terms, you put your message in terms of a story he could relate to.
That's what the Titanic was.
Right.
You know, you put it in terms of the story that he could relate to. That's what Jesus did in the story of the prodigal son.
Right.
And it's just communicating the joy, the beauty, the interesting
right.
nature of all
right.
of life.
Right. And the quicker you can get into your story, the better. And all the fluff and the introduction.
Right.
People will ruin a good story by all this fanfare ahead of it.
Right.
I want to tell this story. I first heard this story. No one cares about any of that. You just... Or, you know, I don't know if I got all the facts right about this story. And
I preamble it.
I'm not a very good storyteller.
But I'm going to try.
Just skip all the introductions and just launch into it. And if people are... And it takes people a second to go, what's going on? But that's all creative energy. They're
right.
listening, right?
Oh, and you might say to yourself, I know I'm not a great storyteller, but I'll tell you that. A story told by a sincere, loving person
right.
is worth the wait.
Yes.
But if the sincere, loving person says, distracting, oh, you know, I don't normally tell stories. You know, so I'm going to try. You know, all of a sudden, it's gone. But a sincere, ministry-loving person just launches into the story and then stutters and then fails a little bit and then forgives them but comes back. And you have never really been much of a person to tell a story. And you do. That's powerful because that's a sincere person. It's just trusting the Lord to bless something.
One easy technique. I'll just give you one little easy technique to sort of get started. Is just start your story with the time it happened. So, for example, it was the summer of 1967.
Okay.
It was the day I almost died.
Right.
Okay, and then I tell the story of what happened with my brother and the glass and the hand
right.
going through the window. But I start off, it was the summer of 1967.
Right.
That's my opening line. And now they're going...
Right.
The summer of 1967.
I found myself, when you said that, I found myself, there's something in my mind that went back in time, just
right.
listening,
right.
and I lost myself for that moment. You said
right.
it was the summer of 1967.
Right. Because it gives you a feeling, right?
Right.
It was the first Christmas I remember, or it was the
right.
first Christmas without my mother.
Right.
Or it was, you know, all of a sudden, Christmas, mother, yeah, I can relate
right.
to these things. You're starting off with something that, like you said, it transports you to get ready for what's coming.
Right. And it puts you in that environment. Now, we would encourage you to do a little curious searching on the internet for how to tell a great story.
Yeah.
When you read some interesting books, find out how they do it. Find out how they think about that inciting
right.
incident. You know, this is something, it won't take long, and your storytelling ability will improve dramatically.